You're listening to Air Schooner, listening that moves you. Hosted by Stacy Waite and Scott Winter. Of Books and Cheese by John Haywood. No two things in all things can seem only one, because two things so must be one thing alone. Howbeit, reading of books and eating of cheese, no two things, for some things, more like one than these. The talent of one cheese in mouths of 10 men hath 10 different tastes in judgment. Most times when he saith, 'tis too salt, he saith, 'tis too fresh. He saith, 'tis too hard, he saith, 'tis too nesh. It is too strong of the rennet, saith he. It is, he saith, not strong enough for me. It is, saith another, well as can be. No two of any 10 in one can agree. And as they judge of cheese, so judge they of books, onlookers on which who that narrowly looks may look for this. Saith he, that book is too long. 'Tis too short, saith he. Nay, saith he, ye say wrong. 'Tis of meat length, and so fine phrase or fair style. The like that good book was not made a good while, and in touching the truth invincibly wrought, 'tis all lies, saith another, the book is naught. No book, no cheese, be it good, be it bad, but praise and dispraise it hath and hath had.
That was 16th century writer John Haywood's poem Of Books and Cheese, as read by the golden vocal chords of Rick Alloway.
We're going to find out today that cheese wasn't just in the 16th century. It's still in now. Today's episode, we're going to talk to writers about what they eat so we can learn how to eat like a writer.
Some writers talk to us about their favorite foods to get in their favorite places, and some of them talked about their favorite writing comfort food. But in the end, Stacy, a lot of them just wanted to talk about cheese.
It's true, they did. We talked to a bunch of writers by phone, and right now we're going to hear from Denise Duhamel, Aubrey Hirsch, and Shavisa Woods about their various cheese addictions.
Oh, this is easy for me. Without a doubt, fondue. Make that cheese fondue with apples dipped in it. And I can never get anyone to go with me. No one likes fondue except me, apparently.
It would have to be something with like a lot of like cheese and oil in it, and then cake. Probably be like some big thing of like mushroom risotto that was really creamy and cheesy and delicious, and then one of those chocolate cake things that has the gooey stuff in the middle. That would be my ideal meal.
Well, my ideal meal is pretty anything with a good cheese in it. I mean, one of my favorite, this is awful. I mean, it's just comfort food, but for my birthday 1 year, I went to a French restaurant and I allowed myself just to have the cheese plate. I guess a really good cheese plate with heirloom tomatoes and sea salt. Maybe some avocado. That would just be great. And some really good bread. That would be my... I mean, that's a meal that I get to have once every 5 years is a meal and a glass of really good wine.
And if you're thinking, all I really want to do now is read the books of those people who just talked about cheese, Denise Duhamel's latest book of poetry is Blowout. Aubrey Hirsch is the author of the short story collection Why We Never Talk About Sugar. And Shavisa Woods, a poet and novelist, just released her debut novel called The Albino Album. All those books just came out this year.
Stacy, many of our writers offered some advice when it comes to preparing food, picking up food, whatever it took to build their favorite foods. Do you have any tricks or tips in that area?
Yeah, I'm not much of a smarty pants when it comes to food, but I'll tell you what I do. When my partner goes out of town, I go to Trader Joe's and I buy this tray of pastry puffs. It's got feta cheese and onion in it. And I just get a tray of those and I eat them and I just cook them for dinner.
Yeah, I'm a little more low rent than that. My big thing is like sticking a little bit of lemon juice in the tuna. I think I picked that up from some first season Seinfeld episode or something.
So we're going to listen to poets Dawn Lonsinger and Allison Hedgecote give us some tips.
I think my perfection meal is either sushi, which I'm sort of obsessed with, and I think I was just telling my students the other day, don't ever get a Groupon for tattoos or sushi. Those are the two things you should sort of splurge on if you're going to get them. So really good sushi I love, and or really like a spicy Thai curry, something with a lot of complexity and punch.
For writing, I have like, I stayed a couple months in Marfa, Texas with Len in 2011 summer, and they had a kitchen that was like a major chef kitchen in each one of those writers' houses, and I fell in love with their espresso machine and a really good steel pan for stir fry and a blender that I made smoothies in every day, juice smoothies, and I was hooked. So when I left there, I bought myself an espresso machine. So usually when I'm writing, I'm either drinking coffee, Americanos, or espresso, or I'll make some kind of tea. So I got to have tea or coffee. There's some caffeine. I need it. And then something really crazy that I've fallen in love with the last 2 months, really good, you should try and get it. Big Lots has really cheap, crazy gourmet foods. And they have this one that's asparagus. It's pickled asparagus with peppers in it. They are hot, spicy little spheres. And I'm in love with them. I'm totally in love with them. In fact, when my friend got in last night, Jeff was here, I said, you got to have my new taste treat. So she's falling asleep, and I handed her these pickled asparagus spears. That was our bedtime snack.
Wow, all those foods sound really healthy, but they also sound really good. And you can read Don Lonsinger's collection of poems called Whelm, which won the Idaho Prize for Poetry. And Allison Hedge Koch is the author of many books, including the poetry collection called Blood Run. But I think I know, Stacy, as a writer, what your go-to food is.
It's true. Whenever I'm writing, there's always some sort of noodles next to me. It could be anything from pad thai to lo mein to spaghetti, but if it's noodles, it's being eaten.
Yeah, my go-to food in college was just noodles with Parmesan cheese on them and butter and all that stuff. But what do we have next?
We have Katie Hogan, who's going to talk to us about avoiding smushy foods, Alan Michael Parker on how he prepares his annual Christmas dinner, but first, filmmaker and author Julie Dash is going to also share some noodle love with us.
Well, I would say one of my favorite writing foods is ramen noodles. I like them with chopped vegetables because when you're writing and all of a sudden you've been writing for many hours, you find that you're just starving and you need something to eat, you could quickly run into the kitchen and chop up some vegetables and throw them on top of some boiling water and noodles, and you could be back in front of the computer before you lose track of your line of thought. So ramen noodles, that's my writing food.
My partner, Paula, makes this amazing, I mean, this is so, you know, typical of someone who does the work I do, but she makes this amazing tofu. And it's like spicy and not smushy. And she like spices it and bakes it and chops it up so it's sort of like crunchy but not too much. And then tosses it with all these vegetables and stir fry and in noodles. And I love to eat that. And I also love coffee, and I love green tea and honey, and I love red wine.
Christmas dinner is a big deal in my house, and I cook for a couple of days. And it might be, in fact, and we have friends over, and it might be the meal. And I've acquired from my in-laws a taste for roast goose. So I get a free-range goose, and I roast it with, wrap it in a good Jewish way. Cooking Christmas dinner, I wrap it in bacon. I don't wrap it. I mean, that would be vile. But it's got some bacon on it. And so roast goose with a good wine, and then I make a blueberry cheesecake. And this year I made, what did I make? I made a granita. I don't know if you've ever made a granita. You take basically raspberries, and you ice them up and freeze them, and serve it as a kind of sorbet. That was yummy.
That first author who loves noodles as much as I do was Julie Dash, who we're going to feature on an upcoming show this year, and who is the author of Daughters of the Dust. And Katie Hogan wrote the book Women Take Care, Gender, Race, and the Culture of AIDS. Alan Michael Parker's latest book is a collection of poems called Long Division. Some of the writers we talked to, of course, what they eat or what they like to eat was really tied to a specific place where they grew up or where they're living now. So, you, Scott, do you have places like that really associate a certain food for you?
Yeah, I still remember deep sea salmon fishing off the coast of Oregon and just remembering what they tasted like right out of the water. Well, we cooked them first. And then I also remember going to the deep south, and anytime I could get Cajun catfish, that was a big deal to me.
Man, my answer to this is like, you know, I mean, Pittsburgh, man, Primanti Brothers sandwich. They put French fries on the sandwich itself. I don't even know what's on there, but it's good stuff.
Hey, speaking of Pennsylvania, let's hear Eugene Cross talk Pennsylvania food. And Kentuckian Chris Offutt talk about the food he cares about in Mississippi, where he's now teaching.
Food and drink are two of my many passions. But, you know, if I'm living in the world of this short story collection, Erie, Pennsylvania, where I'm from, and I've been in Chicago now almost 2 years, but I will say that, and I love, you know, good food. I'm a total foodie, and I love to try new restaurants and everything. And my mom's from Puerto Rico, so I was raised on rice and beans. I mean, that is, you know, we had that like Italians have pasta every week. We had rice and beans probably twice a week, and I love that. But if I'm living in the world of my story, which all take place in Northwest Pennsylvania, chicken wings and beer, you know, and it's one of those things that I haven't really found. In Chicago, there's great, you know, great deep dish pizza, great sausage, great steak, but the chicken wings in my hometown are some of the best, and I've written about them, and I've talked about them to friends, and anybody who comes to visit Erie, Pennsylvania, there's a handful of kind of hole-in-the-wall bars that I take them to, and we order just dozens of wings and sit down and have a beer, and that's it.
Dried catfish, cornbread, there's some, you know, pretty good fried chicken around. There's black-eyed peas, which I prefer. Yeah, there's a lot of pork, of course. A lot of little boutique bacon and sausage makers. Well, it's not a place to come and eat healthy, let me tell you that.
Stacey, it seems like our writers are all over the board today on whether they want to eat healthy food or not when it comes to their favorite foods. You can read Eugene Cross's stories in his recent Fires of Our Choosing. And if you watch Weeds or Treme, you've probably been watching and hearing Chris Offutt's words. And from everything everybody said today, all these writers have said, Stacey, what have you learned?
First thing I learned, Scott, is you and I need to go to lunch after this because I'm pretty hungry. But the second thing I learned is I found that really fascinating. I don't know. I mean, every time I was talking to a writer and I was just, I mean, Denise Duhamel going on about like fondue. I was just like, she wants to go to the melting pot. It was amazing.
Yeah. I'm still stuck on the noodles that you and I have been talking about. Tell us about our last writer of the day.
Our last writer of the day is Marcus Wicker, who's going to be on an upcoming show this year about reality TV, so stay tuned for that. But he's a poet and the author of the book Maybe the Saddest Thing, which is selected by D.A. Powell for the National Poetry Series. It's a great book, and here's Marcus Wicker telling us about his favorite meal.
And thanks for listening to Air Schooner today.
Oh, man. I'm easy, right? Good piece of steak, potatoes, asparagus, and a fantastic IPA. Great. Actually, I was I taught this workshop in Martha's Vineyard, and I went to eat with a cat who's the editor of Pleiades, and he was telling me about the au foie gras, right? I had to have the au foie gras, which I'd never had. I can barely pronounce, right? The most amazing, you know, $45 starter I've ever had in my life. I don't know that I'll ever have it again, but I'd like to.
Go to prairieschooner.unl.edu to experience Fusion 4, a collaboration and celebration centered around the theme of feast. Fusion 4 features art by Manisha Gera Baswani and Farah Denzoda, essays by Sudeep Sen and Kwame Das, and a whole feast of poetry that you need to chew on for a while. Eat it up at prairieschooner.unl.edu.
Air Schooner is a bi-weekly product of Prairie Schooner and produced with research support from Eric Jones and Marianne Kunkel. Production assistants are Catherine Larson and Franny Sprowls. Technical support comes from Rick Alloway of the University of Nebraska-Lincoln's College of Journalism and Mass Communications. Air Schooner is produced by Scott Winter and the brainchild of executive producer Kwame Dawes.